starting off point. I like to work a text. It's easier to do, but I may run you around just a little bit. So if you can't find things fast in your Bible, then just listen, because I'll lose you looking if I move too fast. What I did, I announced this morning what was going to be Killers of Fruitfulness is what the title is going to be. But what I did is I whittled it down a little bit today. That's what I did. I whittled it down a little bit so instead of having so many points in it. So what we're going to call it is Killers of Fruitfulness. There's a lot of things in a Christian's life that can make you unfruitful. When you're born again, God wants His people to be to live sober, righteous, and godly. We should want to serve the Lord all of our days and seek to please Him. So what we're going to look at this evening is just four. I did have several more, but I like I said, I'm going to try to do this evening. Killers of fruitfulness. Killers of fruitfulness. God's people should be fruitful. And God expects His children to be fruitful. One of these days we'll stand before the Lord and we'll have to give a reckoning to what we've done with the time that God gave us here. I want to live in such a fashion that it's pleasing to the Lord. And everybody here tonight, if you're born again, the most important thing in the world is if you're saved. People should know that you're saved. People should know that you're born again. People should know that and be able to see that you're different. If you don't have those things, there's just something ain't right. It's just something ain't right. So this is what we're going to look at this evening. Evil is the first one is these. I'm going to, like I said, a total of four. Total of four. Unless I look down and might add another one. You don't ever know what I'll do sometimes. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Now, if you can't find things in your Bible, don't worry about it. I'm going to read it. So, because what will happen, you'll be looking and then I'll lose you. So I want you to be able to listen to what's going to be said. Killers of fruitfulness. As I said, God wants His people to be fruitful. Close to Him, serving Him. And that's what we're going to be talking about. All right, here's the killers of fruitfulness. You think the devil would like to kill your fruitfulness? Oh, my, yeah, he'll come after that big time. If he can sideline you in any way, he'll do it. If he can sideline a church in any way, he'll do it. He does I think Satan and all his angels and that's on this earth, I think it's important to realize that he's active here on the earth now. And he has, a lot of fallen angels with him that's here. And I think they know God's people. I really do. I think they know God's people. And I think God protects His people. I think God protects us. I do. And I think God has a will in His life, in our lives, that we should seek to serve Him as we should. All right. Killers of fruitfulness, number one. Evil associations, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil associations corrupt good manners. Evil associations corrupt good manners. Manners, and it's important that if you've been born again, it's important that you realize that. Notice what it says in verse 1 Corinthians 15 and 33: Be not deceived; evil communications or associations corrupt good manners. Now, evil associate. There's many different kinds of evil associations. Y'all agree? It's all kinds of evil associations out there. And Satan uses different kinds of ways to seek to bring someone that's born again down. He wants to trip you up. He wants to trip you up to the point to where you're not serving him as you should. And if you've been born again, the whole thing behind your life is to live for the Lord. Do you all agree? The greatest thing in your life is to live for Him and to serve Him all your days until the day that the Lord brings you to heaven, then we'll serve Him there. The greatest thing that we have is the ability to serve the Lord now that we're born again. So I think that's important. So evil associations corrupt good manners. Well, that basically means you got to watch what you got to watch who you're around. You got to be careful what you have in your home. You got to be careful what you see. There's all kinds of things you have to watch after. God's people should watch after themselves also. And we should ask God to help us with regard to evil associations. Evil associations are people, places. An evil association is people, places, and things. People, places, and things. So it's important that we watch ourselves because we represent. Who do we represent? We represent the Lord. And we need to be about His business. At the same time, when you have Christ in your heart, you seek to win other people where you work at, where you go to school at, and in your community, you seek to win people. So evil association can destroy, evil associations can destroy good manners. I've told you this before. When I was in the 9th and 10th grade, I was a mess. I just can't tell you how the shape that I was in when I was in the 9th, 10th grade. My daddy was a Baptist deacon. And my mom, of course, they at that time, they never missed church hardly at all. They were faithful to God's house. They insisted to me that I had to go to church. There's one time I didn't go. And I snuck off. Boy, I never did that again. Yeah, I snuck off all right. Boy, she was out there waiting whenever I got to the car. I didn't have a car of my own in. So I had to go back to the car. She beat me all the way down Route 62, I think, till she got to Boca. Oh, she couldn't stand that. Man, she wanted me to be where at. She wanted me in God's house. I didn't want to go. I never did that again, though. I'll tell you that right now. Boy, she put a thumping on me now. And I'm glad she did. I'm glad she brought me to church. All God's people said, I'm glad she brought me here. She taught me a lot of things about the things of God. Daddy was going a lot of work, working out of town and things, and my mommy watched after me. And she was a good, we're talking about evil association, but mom was a good, she would watch. She wanted me to grow up right, is what she wanted more than anything else. She wanted me to grow up right. And she had to go looking. She had to always know where I was at, which embarrassed me to death. And that's what she'd do. She'd come in that car. And then the boys would be there and they'd go, your mommy's looking for you. And it just embarrassed me to death. You know what? She didn't care. She didn't care a lick. She wanted to know where I was at. She wanted to know who I was with. And she wanted to know what I was doing. I guess she checked that every day of her life for a good long time, but that's what she did. She realized that evil associations does what? Corrupt good manners. So she would worry about who I was with. And she wanted me to grow up how? She wanted me to grow up right. That's what she wanted. Okay? When I was in the 9th and in the 10th grade, I just drifted into 9th and 10th grade. I got around a bad crowd and things, and what ended up happening is I just drifted into sin in a horrible way. The couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything with me. They just couldn't do it. I was just completely out of control. Didn't care for nothing. Didn't care what I said. Didn't care what I did. Didn't care what I told a teacher. Just disrespect and horrible. And I can still remember. I can still remember that. And what really set me on that, and here's why I'm telling you about that, is because I was with the wrong crowd. When you get around with a crowd that's always in trouble, that's not a good place for a child of God to be. All God's people say it. You can't get around it. It's just not a good thing. All right, we're talking about killers of fruitfulness. Evil associations corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil associations corrupt good manners. And these evil associations are people. These evil associations are people, places, and things. So you got to watch all those evil associations. Okay? Number two. So evil associations, everybody agree with me tonight, evil associations will corrupt your good manners. If you run around the riffraff of the world, they'll pull you right into sin. Does everybody in the house agree? You can't, if you're going to serve Jesus, if you're going to please Jesus, you've got to run with the God-fearing. All God's people say it. You got to run with the God-fearing. If you don't run with the God-fearing, you'll get pulled into sin, and you're not too big for it either. You're not too big for it. Number two is bitterness. Bitterness. Sometimes bitterness is, we call it the bitter root. What is bitterness? Well, when someone gets bitter, it's anger on the inside. I've seen this happen in churches before where somebody get mad and started burning on the inside and angry and all these kinds of things. And then what happened is they get bitter. Have you ever seen anybody get bitter over something in a church? Have you ever seen anybody get bitter in a church before? Sometimes people do. They'll get angry maybe at what happened at a business meeting, or they get mad at what somebody said or what somebody didn't do. And then what happens after a while? They get what? They get a bitter spirit. They get a bitter spirit in their heart. And a bitter spirit in the heart. The scriptures in Hebrews 12:5 calls it a bitter root. Hebrews 12:15. Let me turn to make sure that's right. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 15, I think so. Looking diligently lest any man fall or fail of the grace of God. Lest any root, you see the word root? What's it called, this root? It's a root of what? Bitterness. And what is bitterness? That's when somebody hurts you or someone makes you mad. And if you keep dwelling on it, if you keep dwelling on it, it'll take root in your heart. And it'll make you unfruitful. It'll make you unfruitful. It's a bitter thing. There's people that are saved, that's trusted Christ, and someone had done something to them and they got bitter and, "I'm not going back to that church ever again." And all that really is what? Somebody tell me what it is. It's a bitterness. Hey, you know who it hurts the most? The person that holds the bitterness. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you more than anything else. You got to get rid of bitterness. Bitterness will eat you alive from the inside out. And it'll suck all the joy out of you. It sucks all the joy right out of you. So you got to watch bitterness. I think everybody gets bitter at one time or the other. But after a while, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, get this out of me. I don't know if you've ever done it. I've done it. Because I got a horrible temper. And after a while, I just say, Lord, take this out of me. I don't want this in me. I don't want to feel this way. You can't be close to Jesus at the same time and be bitter with people. It's not a good place to be. All God's people said, all right. So evil associations destroy good manners, as we said in the first part. Second part is bitterness. It's called by the same, it's called a bitter root. A bitter root because bitterness lies beneath. And it'll eat you alive from the inside out. What are you supposed to do with bitterness? Get rid of it. Let me say it one more time. Get rid of it. Have you ever had somebody just make you torching mad? Whatever torching mad is. Have you ever had anybody make you torching mad before? And you just knew you had to get this thing out and let it go. Listen, get it out, let it go, and turn it over to the Lord. All God's people say it. That'll help you. It'll set you free. Hey, what it'll do, it'll set you free. I've seen people years ago that get mad, and they got mad at a church service, and they've been mad for 20 years. They've been mad for 20 years. They ain't done nothing for Jesus for 20 years. I don't know whether they're saved or not. 20 years? That's ridiculous, isn't it? Man, you got to let things go. Sometimes people are going to say and do things that's going to bother you or hurt you, but you got to let things go and get over it. Because what are we? Are we without sin? No. I'm born again. I'm a pastor, and I've been a pastor for a long time. 40 years. I've been a pastor for a long time. But, beloved, it's important that God's people, especially to get rid of these evil associations and bitterness. We need to get that out of our hearts, because that's one of the books I read one time says bitterness is the number one killer of Christian fruitfulness. I can't remember where I got it at, Hollis. Probably one of your books. The number one killer of Christian fruitfulness is what? Bitterness. So, and you'll feel it because it lies where at? It lies beneath. And it eats you from the inside out. All God's people say it. So what do you need to do? Get rid of it. Say, Lord, get this thing. I've done this before. Oh, I've had somebody, people make me so mad. And I'd say, Lord, get this out of my heart. I don't want to be this way. I'm so mad right now, Master. You know the Lord already knows you're mad, don't He? Can you hide anything from Him anyhow? I just say, Lord, I'm so aggravated and mad over this goofiness or whatever it might be. And I'll say, Lord, get this out of my heart so that I can worship. You see, this will interrupt your worship. So you got to get what with it? Get it out of there. Get rid of it. Say, Lord, take this out of my heart. Do you think God can? Get it out of here. I don't want it. I want to go on with Jesus and serve Him all my days. Get rid of that bitterness, because it'll eat you alive from the inside out. All right. Killers of fruitfulness is what we're looking at this evening. Evil associations were our first one. Bitterness is the second one. All of these are sermons, by the way, that I've preached in the past. But number three, pride. What's pride? Let's turn to Proverbs 16 and 18. Proverbs 16 and 18. Now, if this ain't the right one, I think I got it wrote down. Proverbs 16 and 18. Okay. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride, this is our third one. This is our third. Evil association was our first one. Bitterness was our second one. These are killers of what? Christian fruitfulness. And then the next one is pride. And that's Proverbs 16 and 18. I would write these down if I was y'all. Proverbs verse 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. What goes before destruction? What's the middle letter in pride? I want everybody to look down at it. I. The middle letter in pride is I. And when a lot of people start having trouble, it's because of I. I, me, me, all these kinds of things. That's pride. I've seen churches split over the years over really wasn't nothing but pride. This person didn't get their way. This person didn't get their way. So then there was a big blow up. And how wonderful that would look in the community. All God's people said. That's ridiculous. So pride. Pride is a killer of fruitfulness. There's probably, I have no idea of the numbers. I don't know if there's any numbers out there on that. But there's probably a lot of people at home tonight because of pride. Somebody said something, didn't do something right or something, and they got angry, and then pride came in. Okay? What caused Satan to fall? Pride. Pride's a dangerous thing. God's people are to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. But pride, it'll eat your lunch. You get prideful, God don't like it. What will God do about pride? Do you think God will do anything with regard to His children, with regard to pride? He'll work at all of you. He will work at all of you. You got pride in your heart? God sees it. And see that since it lies beneath anyhow, who's going to see it first anyhow? Will be Him. Get rid of it. Or God will get rid of it. He'll get rid of it one way or the other, but He'll get rid of it. All right. Killers of fruitfulness, evil associations, bitterness, and pride. And this is the last one. See, I let some of this out, but the fourth one is hypocrisy. The fourth one is hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's being a hypocrite. It's being a hypocrite. And you know what a hypocrisy really is? It was an actor. When you look at an actor and they're you know going through what they're ever going through on television or whatever, they're acting out a part. They're acting out a part. But it's not but the people that are there doing the talking isn't the same people. It's just putting on a what? Putting on a show. It's just putting on a show. That's what hypocrisy is. You're just acting out a part. I've told this so many times over the years, and I think I told it today and probably done told it again. I want to be real. I don't want to be a fake or a put on for anybody. When I come to church to preach, I want to preach from my heart. When I come here to listen to somebody sing, I want to listen to the message and the song and rejoice with that and worship. See, I think that's important. Hypocrisy is an actor. They're just putting on a show. When I go to church, I try to get myself ready. Try to get myself ready to go. Old Coach Jennings used to say, boys, we got a ball game to play. So shut your mouth, is what he'd say. Shut your mouth and think about what you're getting ready to do. Well, when I started thinking a little bit about that, I know Coach didn't intend it like that. I know he didn't exactly intend it that way. But when you come to church, you should think about what you're getting ready to do. You know who usually gets the most out of a church service? The person that does the preparation for it. I've worked for it. I've worked hours and hours and hours. You know, it takes a long time to do a sermon. Especially if you've been trained by Hollis. It has to be where it's supposed to be, you know. But it's important. It's important that we do that. Hypocrisy is a horrible thing. God don't want it in His people's lives. He wants us to be what? Real and true. He wants you when you come to church and when you sing, when you pray, when you worship, He wants you to do it from your heart. You know, before I come to church, I do something. Do y'all know what it is, what I do before I come? Before I come to church, I get myself ready as far as my mind. I work on my mind first. I have to get my mind straight. So I try to get everything out of my mind. Of course, there ain't much in there anyhow. But I try to get everything out of my mind so that I can focus on what I'm preaching about, so that I can make it understandable for the people. That's what I try to do. I think it's important that we do that. It's an important thing that God's people, when they come to God's house, to prepare themselves before they come. We get ready with a tie. We get ready with clothes on and things of that nature. But we need to get ourselves spiritually ready for worship. And I would encourage you, if you'll do that, it'll open up your worship over than above. All God's people say it. Over than above. Book of Titus then. It's moved down to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. We'll quit. Titus chapter 1. Book of Titus chapter 1 and the verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. Here's some professors, not good professors. And there's a lot of people like Titus 1 and verse 16. It says they profess that they know what? They profess that they know God, right? But in works, what do they do? Yeah, but in works they deny being abominable, disobedient, and to every good work a reprobate. So these people right here are hypocrites. That's what they are. They're hypocrites. It's a shame. Well, beloved, I hope the message was a blessing to you. These are killers of Christian fruitfulness, especially with regard to worship. Evil association.